forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I would confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your terrible and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you, of your boundless mercy, that you would save the holy and innocent bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinner.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God in all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
And the master said to me, Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A number of years ago, a friend of mine said he often thought that one of the simplest and deepest truths about us human beings is that when all is said and done, we in fact do what we want to do. Just think about that for a moment. When all is said and done, we in fact do what we want to do. And most all of us, I certainly include myself in this, are very good at making excuses for what we in fact simply don't want to do. In the parable our Lord tells in this Sunday's gospel, he tells of people who made excuses. Jesus is at table in the house of a leading Pharisee on the Sabbath. He heals a man on that Sabbath. He teaches a lesson in humility and urges the kind of giving that expects no earthly reward, but which will in fact be rewarded in the resurrection. And as Jesus says this, one of his table companions exclaims, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Opinions differ as to whether this guest was simply a pious soul who devoutly looked forward to the resurrection, or whether he was perhaps the self-satisfied sort who imagines that he would naturally, obviously, be among the guests at the heavenly banquet. Whatever the case may be, the Lord Jesus then tells the familiar parable of a man who prepares a great banquet. But when he sends his servant to call the previously invited guests to the banquet, they all alike began to make excuses. Now, all of our Lord's parables point to what God is doing through him. And so, in telling this parable, our Lord is in fact pointing to what is going on right then and there in the house of the Pharisee whose hospitality Jesus is enjoying. And what's going on is this, that the Lord Jesus, who is God in the flesh, is like the host in the parable, then and there extending that gracious invitation. And he's also pointing to what has been going on in the long and sad history of God's ancient chosen people, Israel. We remember the words of Jesus, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and those stoning those sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." As Jesus tells this parable, the Pharisees were not willing. They just keep on doing what they in fact want to do, and what they in fact want to do is to get rid of Jesus as a threat to their position and power. In Jesus' parable, these are the ones who were first invited, but with one accord began to make excuses. The invitation then goes to the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, meaning to the lowly, humble people in Israel, and then finally to those found in the highways and hedges, meaning the Gentile nations. All these are invited so that the banqueting hall may be filled with happy guests. But, says the giver of the feast, none of those who were first invited but refused the gracious invitation shall taste my supper. Yes, when all is said and done, people in fact do what they want to do. Well, what do you and I want to do? What are our desires, our loyalties, our commitments, our priorities? What comes first in our lives? Can we truthfully claim that, as is said in the Catechism, we in fact fear, love, and trust in God above all things? What favorite sin do I not want to part with? What has in fact taken the place of God in my heart of hearts, crowding out Jesus, getting in the way of fearing, loving, and trusting God more than anything else in the world? Well, we all know, or ought to know, that most of the world's troubles are not the result of some unaccountable happenstance. They're the result of choices. Lots and lots and lots of choices made not only by the rich and powerful, but also people like you and me, of people doing just what they want to do. And oh, the excuses we come up with for doing just that. And when selfish, self-centered, self-absorbed human beings do what they want to do, there can be little doubt as to the outcome, for God is not mocked. And so this parable is a word of judgment, a word to bring us up short, a word to warn us of the danger of speaking that final, irrevocable no to God. But, like all of Jesus' parables, it is not only a word of judgment, it's also a word of mercy. For just as the would-be host in the parable prepares a great banquet, just so the Lord God has from the foundation of the world been preparing a great banquet for his fallen creation. A banquet of pure love, a banquet of joy, a banquet of great mercy. Age after age, he kept on sending the prophets as his messengers to extend the gracious invitation. And then he finally sends his only begotten Son, who not only invites the whole lost world to that banquet of mercy, but in fact himself prepares that banquet at great cost, the costly sacrifice of his own body and blood on the cross. Through that death, he destroys the power of death, and through his resurrection opens the way to the heavenly banquet for all who place their trust in him. Yes, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. The Holy Supper of our Lord is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. As gracious host and friend of sinners, the Lord Jesus invites to his supper those who are sorry for their sins and who hunger and thirst for the forgiveness that alone can make us acceptable in the eyes of God. The Holy Supper is truly the Lord's banquet of pure, unmerited love. But that love is not only forgiving love, it also is transforming love, turning our hearts away from what we want to do to the happiness of doing God's will here on earth as it is done in heaven. May God grant this to us all for the sake of his dear Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we especially remember Dorothy Bell, who is recovering from surgery. Let us stand and pray for the church and for the world. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son, and for the revelation of your will and grace. And we pray you so to implant your word in us that we may keep it and bring forth fruit by patient continuance in well-doing. Lord, in your mercy. Mercifully rule and govern your holy church universal with all its pastors and ministers, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, whereby faith toward you may be strengthened, charity increased in us toward all people, and your kingdom extended. Lord, in your mercy. Grant wisdom and understanding to the President of the United States, the Governor of this state, the Congress and our legislature, our judges and magistrates, and all who are in authority, and enable them so to rule after your good pleasure, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, especially Dorothy and all those for whom our prayers are desired, and all persecuted Christians. Grant them patience in their sufferings and deliverance from their afflictions. Lord, in your mercy. We praise you for all who have departed this life with the sign of faith, and pray that we may be made partakers with them in the glorious resurrection unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. We also give you thanks for all our fathers. Give to them your help and your favor, and a constant sense of your nearness and of your love. Protect them from all harm and danger. Grant them your mercy and the kingdom of heaven. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant us, gracious Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let us sing hymn 637.